add that in Hebrews, we saw in 1 John the hope there in its purifying effect. When you look at it in Hebrews, it has the idea of stability. You read of hold fast and you read of unwavering. The effect of the hope not only has the thought of purification, but stability. It is something good for believers to be stable. We're living in days where everything's unstable, everything is shaking, including believers. You get disappointed greatly. People are wavering this way and that way. This way and that way. One day we look at it this way, the next day we look at it this way. And there is no stability whatsoever. The stability comes from that hope because it is like an anchor for the soul. And that anchor is there in that very place where the Lord Jesus is. And that hope caused the believer to walk steady. It's a sign of maturity when you find somebody walking steady. When a little baby starts to walk, there's a lot of unwavering and a lot of instability. But it's a sign of growth. And having that hope will help the young one as they grow to be stable, firm in the faith. No unwavering anymore. Not carried with every wind of doctrine. Oh, it is this today. Well, we have heard this kind of theology today. Oh, they are saying that. There is stability. And the hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus gives stability to the believer. That's another effect that we have of having that hope.
So we have another word, and as we move on, time is quickly getting away from us. The word unmovable or immovable, connected with the work of the Lord. The word we have here now is Christ risen. We know him as exalted and glorified at the right hand. But our God gives us the victory. And maybe someone can help us with this thought. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that in relation to this, which is supposed in 1 Corinthians 15, that is the rapture, we can be immovable. So I was just wondering if we can have a few thoughts on this victory.
Well, the saints, throughout the history of men, there is always the fear of death. Always. Death was called the king of terror. So you might say that before the Apostle Paul introduced what he has in mind, death was not a favorite subject of the saints of God. They were always afraid. They were always in bondage of fear. That's what Hebrews tells us. But now here he's telling them, he brings before us the wonderful hope that the Lord is coming. Not only death, because I'm going to come to the victory. And he tells them, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So from God's perspective, the battle and the victory has been won. And it has been won by his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. But it's not only that. That God has in mind that you and I are going to join Christ in the same victory. We are going to sing, I like to think of it as a chorus. One side is singing, O death, where is thy sting? Another side is singing, O grave, where is thy victory? But the victory is from God because he has conquered death, he has conquered the grave, and he's telling the saints, hey, listen, we will have the final laugh. So don't be shaky, don't be weak, don't be like scared about it, you be firm because death cannot touch you. Now death is only a means to bring you to glory. And be immovable. And brethren, we want to have these characteristics upon us. We want to be firm. We want to be immovable, as we heard, because it's the same thought of Hebrews. It is like someone who is steady, who is firm. And that's a wonderful thing, to take hold of that hope that's going to bring us above death, above the grave, and bring us to heaven. And when I think of it, it really, brethren, have to give me the strength that is needed within the soul to be immovable and firm.
If one doesn't have hope, they're not very willing to put out the toil, the labor,
correct,
the work, that the answer to that work is in resurrection. If one doesn't have the assurance of that, why bother? The world lives for today. They live for the moment. When they lose what they have, the toys, they're depressed. But we, as saints, should be living with tomorrow in view, as it were, the Lord's coming in view. And that would affect what we do with our time and our energy. I mean, Paul was a good one to write this. I don't know if any other than the Lord Jesus labored as much as Paul. he knew the reality of toil and labor and tears and sorrows in the work. And so here he is, a man who's writing with experience, led by the Holy Spirit, to say, your toil is not in vain in the Lord. He says, I know it. Paul's persuaded, he's convinced that his toil was not in vain. He knew that everything he did, whether men appreciated it or not, whether the saints said to him, brother, that was a help, or whether they said, brother, get out of here, it didn't matter. Paul was doing it for the Lord's glory. And his toil was not in vain in the Lord. And so that's how we should move. We should move not for the clapping of the hands of the brethren. We should move for to hear the Lord Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's not going to happen down here. That's going to happen in the Lord.
I think with this said, probably we can go to Romans 8, since the time is really fast flying away from us.
Yes, I was wondering on that note, should we continue this subject in the next reading, or what was your thought about this?
Well, we could do some. Maybe we can just highlight those five different points in the beginning of the next session.
Okay. Sorry, Dan.
Not at all. But Romans 8, verse 25 is really the end result of the few verses before that. Well, it's basically speaking about the whole creation groaning. But are the believers exempt from the groaning and the mourning of the difficulties of this world, the circumstances that are happening? Well, Scripture tells us not at all. Even us that are having the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan. But what makes the groaning kind of goes away, if I may say that, or maybe not go away, but the effect of it, or the depressing effect of it goes away, is when I lift my eyes heavenward, and I know that there is not just a profession of hope, but there is a living hope. The Lord is coming, and the groaning will be done with. And this is a wonderful thing. The groaning might last for a long time. And I've known saints that have been groaning, going through difficult circumstances, sickness, death, things that are not exactly pleasant. But when I visited one of the saints at the hospital once, and he was there on the bed of sickness for more than 11 years. And I kind of got stuck. I didn't know what to tell him. I said, well, brother, the Lord is coming. And he started from there. And he said, well, brother, yes, he is coming. He's been telling me that since I knew him, but he's been assuring me that for the last 11 years. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to know that there is a living hope. The Lord is coming. The one that came in humility will come specially to take those whom he loved and died for home. So the groaning will be over. If you are sitting in your seat today and there is a matter that makes you groan, rest assured, if you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior, groaning will be over very soon, because he's a man.